I hope we're everyone happy this morning for that name of Jesus. And not only just the name, but the one that that name denotes and reflects upon. He is wonderful, isn't he? And let the world proclaim, God help us as his saints in our life, to proclaim the might and the love and the power and the authority of Christ Jesus. Let's be willing to proclaim that in the life we live. Proclaim it in the humility and in the submission and in obedience that we portray. God help us to proclaim to this world the name Jesus in its beauty, in its holiness, and in its power, in its authority. Thank the Lord this morning for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. My little burden this morning that I feel like God gave me is human relationships and their impact on us. And as I think about it, I want to begin, first of all, with these thoughts, that God himself is interested in our life. When we consider human relationships, our interactions with one another, our feelings towards one another, the impact that we have on one another, the events that have transpired down through our life with one another, close relationships and sometimes distance relationships, the impact that we each one impact the other with. I want us to know fully this morning that God is thoroughly interested in our life, in every facet of it. Just as we parents are not disinterested in a certain area of our child's life, but every area that involves my children, even their grown men, it still has an impact on me, and I'm still very interested in it. I want the best for them in every area of their life. Well, we serve a God who is extremely interested in us, so much so that he sent Jesus to meet our needs. Those things that we were falling short on, and those things that we were not able to understand, those areas in our life where we lacked peace and rest and happiness and joy, those areas that we were less than fulfilled in, he met our needs and he meets our needs today. He came for that purpose. He didn't come to just be a good guy and give us a little warm, fuzzy feeling and go on. But he came to change us. He came to impact us. He came to dynamically work in my heart and your heart, to produce at times when needed profound changes. Not mediocre, not the run of the mill, and not a philosophy, but an impact on our life. He came to meet our needs. And folks, many times to meet my needs, God has to radically change me. He does. Because in my thinking or my perceptions of events and situations and words or whatever in relationships, I can be off. And I need God to change me. I'm glad he's willing to do that. There's a scripture that tells us that God's thoughts to us are thoughts of peace. I want you to believe that this morning. Young people, believe that this morning. In Jeremiah, he said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace. Believe this morning that everything God thinks about us is good. And it's for our good. It's for our betterment. It's for our strength. It's for our life. It's for our joy. It's to give us an expected end. This morning, every one of us, God's thoughts toward you. Sometimes we don't feel like we merit much good thought. You ever been down on yourself? You ever tried to kick yourself for your faux pas or your mistakes? Sometimes we don't feel like we necessarily deserve someone thinking thoughts of peace towards us. But even in those extreme times, yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Thoughts of peace. I have come that you might have life. And he came to give us his peace. Not as the world, but his peace. So God's thoughts to us this morning are thoughts of peace. in every part of our life. He is so interested in who you are and where you are. And He's so interested in what goes on inside the heart. He comes down to visit us. I'm glad of that. I'm glad He comes to be a part of our life, an integral part. Not an abstract, not an attachment, but an integral part of our life. To actually enter into a relationship with us. God, help us not to miss this benefit, if you will. The benefit of Christ integrated with us. Come to be within us and reign in us. God, help us today to know that in our relationships in life, God is interested. And in that thought, He has thoughts of peace. In our human relationships, in our homes, in our marriages, in the church, at work, in families. Wherever there is a coming together of human relationships, I want you to know this morning, God is also interested in that part of our life also. And you know what? He wants it to be a happy time, a blessed time. Over in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, I want to read a little bit. Start at the 8th verse. He starts off by saying something that we all should know if we've experienced any thinking from God, we've experienced any input from God, we should know this. He said in 55 and 8 of Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." As I said, if we've ever had much dealings at all with the Lord, we have found out, I hope by now, indeed His ways and His thoughts are not like us. They have a quality that you and I can only wish for. They have a holiness that you and I can only reach out and want. They have a quality about them that are thoughts of peace. They never, never muddy the waters, but they clear up the waters. They never add confusion, but they always bring a stability. They never bring disease, they always bring healing. The thoughts of the Lord in no way can be tempted with evil. Neither will He tempt you or me with evil. They're just totally holy, 100%. So far above you and me, you know, when someone does us wrong, we have to sometimes resist thoughts of vengeance and anger, of selfish thoughts. It's almost comes with the affront sometimes. But the Lord's thoughts are holy. And they're pure. And there may be punishment. There may be some chastening from God. I will not doubt that or question that. But behind it is not revenge. It is not selfishness. It is trying His best to teach you and me of His love and a gift of life that He has for us. So we don't walk this pathway very long and come in contact with God till we find out indeed, His thoughts and His ways are so much better and higher and greater than ours. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. That ought to cause you and me to reach out for that. When I recognize the holiness of God, the perfection of God, and I realize that He has told me that He has some higher ways and greater things for me to learn, that I know He's willing to share His thoughts and His ideas with me and His ways. Lord, help us all to want to reach out to attain to that, because they're thoughts of peace. Have you ever noticed about me and you, sometimes our thoughts are not too peaceful? They're agitated, a little anger sometimes mixed in with them, a little self sometimes. Little sprinkle, you know, little dash of self here and there. Have you ever noticed that we cannot in ourselves consistently produce thoughts of peace? Can't do it. Don't try. Well, you try. You won't do it. We just can't do it. We're beset by things that agitate us and irritate us and hurt us. Fear, The unknown is a perplexing thing to mankind. Treatment of from other people to me, it affects me. I confess it does. We cannot just say, well, today all of my thoughts are going to be thoughts of peace. And try as we will, there will be a little stirring up and a disturbance of that peace that we try to come up with our own way. But God has promised His thoughts to us are thoughts of peace. Okay, let's go on. For as the heavens, I read that to the 10th verse, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, God wants His Word, His Spirit. May I say, God wants Himself to come down to us as a rain from heaven. And He wants to cause some things to bud and to bloom and to blossom and to bring forth life because He's interested in our life. He's interested. I bought a little bird here the other day. I've been wanting me a canary for a long time. So I took the plunge the other day and found a lady that raised them and bought me a canary. Well, I'm real interested in that little bird. And I watch that little bird. And that bird is supposed to sing. Well, he's a young bird and going through molt, but he can sing. But I'm interested that he sings better. So I've been playing, someone said, play soft music around a bird like that, and they'll pick up singing. I'm interested in that little bird. Someone said, read a little article, said they love broccoli. So I go to the freezer and get me a little broccoli and put it in there, and sure enough, he likes broccoli. I'm interested. Something that I'm interested in, therefore I want to do for it, if I can say it that way. I want it to bring forth its potential. God looks on you and me and knows that with Him nothing's impossible. And in His love, He said, I want this in you. And I want the potential of me, my word, my spirit, my rain from heaven, my thoughts, my love to come down and bring forth and blossom and bud and bring forth true life in your life. He's interested. You know, I had the broccoli. The bird wanted the broccoli and needed it perhaps. But I had to furnish it. God help us. He sees our needs. And His thoughts to us, oh, thank God, they're thoughts of peace. He just loves us. Folks, it comes down to this. He just loves us. You know, we come up with ideas and try to explain God. And I don't mind that. I love good Bible studies and religious discussions. I enjoy that myself. But fathom as we will, the bottom line is He loves us. He loves us. And as a father pitieth his children, He just pities those that love Him and says, I've got the broccoli. I got the broccoli. I got what you need. And it's my thoughts to you are thoughts of peace. Peace, glorious peace. Human relationships, we don't want to get too far away from that. But I want us to know this morning, God is interested in our life. And not just this part or this part, but the very whole spectrum of our life. He is not happy at all. My little bird, he's bouncing around that cage, you know, and sometimes we bounce around in life, don't we? And some way or another, he twisted or skint or hurt his toe. Didn't last long, but I was interested in that. And I got to looking in that cage, and I got to looking to see if there's anything wrong with his toe that I could help. He'd stand up on one leg for a little while, you know. Sometimes we bounce around in life. God's interested us in our bouncing. He wants to bring us down and put our feet on a solid rock. And there's a lot of things that cause you and me to bounce around. Spiritually, mentally, physically, things happen to us that we get agitated. God help us to know behind it all, the Lord loves us and His thoughts to us. I have something for you and I love you. And I've got something better than the bouncing. I've got something better than the agitation. I've got something better than the hurts. I've got something better than the contention. I've got something better than the confused thoughts. Got my peace. my thoughts. I'm going to give them to you. And he wants it to bring forth. He wants us to be trees of righteousness, bringing forth fruit every day of our life. He said, for the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither. I don't know what all we think about that. I know we can gain thoughts of different kinds, but the Lord is willing to extend himself. And how shall I say it? I know he went back to heaven, but he said, I'll leave you another comforter. He came down from heaven and he didn't leave us. He didn't say, I'll be here for 30 odd years and I'll have a ministry of 3.5 years and then folks, I'm leaving and you're on your own. He didn't do that. The rain came and the rain stayed. The nourishment and the strength and the hope and the potential, the abilities stayed. It's here for us today. Everything that's needed for life, that pertaineth to life and to godliness, he's given us. But watereth the earth. God wants to water you and me. And maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish, shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. I believe that. I don't want to put conditions on that, do you? Do you limit God? They spoke over in the Old Testament here somewhere about they limited the Holy One of Israel. You know what limits us? Limits God many times in us is our thoughts. That you and I are not willing to abandon our thoughts and accept God's thoughts. We get preconceived ideas. We get notions. We get ideas. We think we get life's little perplexities figured out sometimes. And when God comes along to give us peace where we have done nothing but disturb our peace, we kind of want to hold on. But God wants to take our thoughts and make them his thoughts. Lord, help us to allow him to do that. I still believe what the Bible we read last Sunday, but with God, all things are possible. And I don't want to limit him. I don't want to cut him short by my thoughts. But I want to take my thoughts and I want to make a fire out of them and I want them to be wood and kindling for the fire if they oppose his thoughts in any way. If you or I read in the Holy Word of God anything that comes against you and me and our thinking, we need to take those thoughts and put them on the altar and say, Lord, I don't understand, but I believe you and I trust you and I know it's all possible with you. And these thoughts that are ranging through my mind, I'm going to take them and put them on the altar and ask you to consume them with your fire. You know what? We might find a little more peace. No, we will find more peace. Okay, let's look on here. God wants to accomplish. In the 12th and the 13th verse, he speaks to us about life, I believe. He said, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorns shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. My life and your life should be a living testimony of the power of God. Oh, the precious name of Jesus. Our lives should be in every way a living testimony of the power of God to make all things new, to transform, to heal, to bring forth life where you and I felt like there was nothing but death consigned to us or to it. God help us today that those places that you and I may have in our hearts that are not singing, that are not really breaking forth, that we would let God's interest in our life penetrate those areas also. That we become behind in nothing. That we come behind in nothing that the Lord has for us as a church or as an individual. That we receive from God the full portion, like Brother Wayne spoke to us last Sunday night. God has a portion Christ is that portion. But may I say, and I don't think it'd be injustice to what he was talking about, there are portions that we can receive from Christ also. He is the ultimate portion. He is our life. God help us when we are hungry for something not to forsake the portion that God has for us and not go out over here or over there or sometimes here and try to find what we think the answer to the situation may be. Lord, help us today to want to break forth in every facet of our life. Break forth with singing, with praise, and with worship unto God. I am free, the songwriter said. The Lord hath saved me. May we be free today and live life, enjoy life, be happy in our experience with the Lord, not moved away from the hope, not moved away by the things that you and I, quite frankly, don't understand and may never understand. Folks, the devil would love to get us in a hurt place or a place of misunderstanding and get us to stay right there till we stagnate. Folks, there are things that we have to say to thee, O Lord, I give it. And then we got to go forward. We got to go on. Relationships. Relationships in the home. Relationships in life are a great place for blessings, but regrettably they can be a great place for confusion. But God wants us to break forth. God wants us to break forth. This is his thoughts towards us now. Okay. He wanted the trees to rejoice. He wanted the trees to come forth with joy. Clap their hands. God help us. Trees of righteousness. Let's clap our hands. Not necessarily literally. If you don't do, that's fine. But clap our hands because that peace that I longed for is now abiding within. In Deuteronomy, he said something to us that kind of perks us up or makes us think anyway. He said in 30 and 19, the choice is ours. You know this scripture. 30 and 19 of Deuteronomy. If I can find it here. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and a cursing. Therefore, he said, choose life. May I say to us this morning, that's God's will for you, that we choose to live, that we choose to enjoy our sanctification and our salvation and our walk with the Lord. And that things that would come to hinder us, that instead of letting it bother us, trouble us, perplex us, rob us, that we would rather choose life. Not the dead things of the flesh, not the dead things of this world, but that we would choose the thoughts, the very Spirit of God, we would choose life. His thoughts of peace, his thoughts of hope, his thoughts of joy, his thoughts of moving forward, his thoughts of with God, nothing is impossible. We choose life. He just wants us to choose in every trying scene of life, folks, his way, life. He wants us to choose his thoughts, life. He wants us to choose the better part, life, his way, his thoughts. He wants us to choose to live for him, choose to love him. He wants us to choose to let him reign within. He wants us to choose to let him take our thoughts and replace them with his thoughts. He wants us to choose to take our prejudice, our bias, our thoughts, and make a fire on the altar out of them to his glory and to his honor and let him come in and abide with us. He wants us to choose life. What an option. What a thought from God. He just says, please choose life. Choose that which makes for peace. God help us. It's up to us. God, you know, I put the broccoli in there with the canary, but it was up to the canary to eat. God gives us life. May we choose life. But he said something here that affects us personally, and I want you and me to think about this. He said in one place, Paul did, we are epistles known and read of all men. Ye are, maybe. He wants you and me to know that the life we live, in whatever vein it may be, is read of other people. Okay? Now, there are those whose lives I touch very little. Some I touch not at all. I don't even know people. So don't touch their lives, really. But then there are others that you and I know quite well, and they see us. Listen to what he said here. Therefore choose life, that both thou, that's you, me, that we may live, that we may enjoy, that we may be aware of, that we may inherit, that we may perceive that the effects of the gospel and the word of God and Christ would be manifest to us in such a way that we would live, that we would spend our time sojourning here in a very fruitful way, peaceful way. But he said something else to us, and that thy seed live. That's those that come along after us. That's those that look at us. That's those that look on me and you and look at us and think. Now, they're thinking this, and they're Christians. They're behaving this way, and they name the name of the Lord. He told us to choose life, that you may live, but that little set of eyes that are looking on you, that they may live. That the foundations of their life will be built on life and not on death. That the thoughts that they know you're thinking, oh yes, they know. The words that you speak, the attitudes we assume, the direction we allow ourselves to go in anything, folks, I could name off a bunch of them, but anything, the directions we take, remember this, choose life. Choose life. Husbands and wives, choose life. Because those little eyes are looking at you. Yes, they are. And they're going to pattern themselves after what they see. Yes, they are. And it's going to become normal and natural to them. And you want them to live, then choose life for yourself. Choose life for your marriage. Choose life in your relationships. Choose the thoughts of God above your own thoughts. His thoughts of peace, make them your thoughts. Bring them in so you can live this life abundantly, yes. But those little lives you're impacting, and not necessarily little lives, those other lives that you're impacting, that they may live also. Offer them the cool, refreshing drink from the rain of heaven. Offer them that cool, wonderful experience of peace. And let them know God is no respecter of person. And that what they see in you, they can choose it also through Jesus Christ. Oh, that lovely name. That we would love that name above all others. That we would bow on our face to that lovely name and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. A total abandonment of ourselves. A total abandonment of our thinking, of our perceptions and our ideas. And to take on that which God has for us. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Read in the paper this morning, Mississippi, this man ran for governor on a Republican, primaries. He ran for governor. And he was an educated man of sorts. And he said the Lord told him to sell everything and put it in this money for his race, for governor. 30-something year old, had a wife and one child. So he did. He sold his house, he quit his job, he took every asset he had and put it in this race, $200,000 he came up with, and he lost. And he lost. Abandonment is a scary thing. Now he's living in a two-room apartment, him and his wife and child. He seems rather optimistic, but anyway, I'm thinking when you come to a place of abandonment, that's scary, folks. Wonder what he was thinking when he deeded off his house. I wonder what he was thinking. When, whoa, Lord, help us to see the positive effect of abandoning ourselves to God. Wonder what we think sometimes when the Lord says, give that to me. And we have to sign the deed over to our thoughts. Kind of scary sometimes, I confess. But God, help us to choose life, that those that are around us may choose life also. John 10 and 10. I'm glad he came, aren't you? I'm glad that lovely name became flesh and dwelt among us. I'm glad he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's what he said in John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. May I say to us, the thief comes in all kind of disguises. Can I leave it there? He comes as our thoughts. He comes as situations that arise from other people. God help us to want to live. But he said to us today, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's his thoughts. That's what he wants. Whatever life you have, God is willing for you to move up higher and closer to him with it. If you're struggling with relationships this morning, if you're struggling with human endeavors and human relationships, if there's a struggle in the home, if there's a struggle in your life with other people, may I say to God, say to us, God has something greater for us than that. Believe it. Believe it. Because those struggles are not peaceful struggles. They are agitations. They are irritations. They are perplexities that you and I sometimes try to go to work on and figure out. And isn't that sometimes, you pardon me saying this, but isn't that sometimes a joke? When we try to figure out some things. Folks, God help us. That Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Oh, let's choose life. Let's choose to embrace his thoughts instead of our own thoughts. When I think about, he said, I have come, that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly. Thinking about now a little bit about this life. Now you know and I know, and this is kind of elementary, but I'll say it anyway, that this life affects eternal life. As there's a direct corresponding issue there of thoughts. That this life and how we live it affects eternal life. So life is a very serious matter when you think of it from that standpoint. The thoughts, the way we act, the way we believe, the way we conduct ourselves, what we do, what we don't do, has a direct impact or an effect in our eternal life. And the life is affected by people around us. I think we'll conclude that the things that go on around us from other people and with other people, be they close associates, be they family, or be they people that we see infrequently or people only at work, that affects us. So this life affects eternal life. But also that people and human relationships affect us. Remember now, God wants us to have in this life an abundant life. That means that he wants us to have something better than what we've come up with. Or what we think, or our ideas, or our directions. God wants us to believe that with him all things are possible. And all things are right. And another thing that we can say about life, the Bible says this, is that it's swifter than a post. It's gone. It's gone. We might say it's swifter than email. Punch a button and zap, it's gone. Serious, isn't it? That this life that we have affects eternal life. That this life is affected by people and things around us. And then to think that it's gone. We're here and it's gone. Folks, I don't remember my first gray hair. It just came on me all of a sudden. I don't remember not exactly being able to run as fast, but it happened quicker than I wanted it to happen. God help us. That we recognize now this life that is so precious and God wants us to have so abundantly, physically speaking, it is faster than a post. Just like a hand's breadth. It's here as a flower. Then it's gone and cast into the oven. It's over with. Now, that tells me it's precious. If I'm going to have peace, I better get on with the business of having peace. If I'm going to have an abundant life, I don't have time to get stagnated over here with my thinking or my thoughts or my ways or my feelings or things that have occurred to me. I've got to get on with my Father's business. I've got to get on with living the abundant life that Jesus has, because this is fast coming to an end. And I don't have time, and neither do you. We can't afford it to waste our times in situations that are less than productive. The swiftness of life also, when we think about it, it also ruins our good intentions. You ever thought about that? Have you ever said, looking back, I meant to? Have you ever said something like that? But all of a sudden, time got away from you, and now you can't. Have you ever said, I wish? You see how time, in its swiftness, can ruin opportunities, can steal and take away, and it's gone. The song said, we have this moment to hold in our hands. As it sifts through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never come. But we have this time. And it's swift. And how the swiftness of it overtakes us and our good intentions, and we are left with only regrets or a life less than peaceful because the swiftness of time caught up with us. Words like, I should have. Talking about human relations now. I should have. I wish I had. I meant to. I regret. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. But now it's back there, and the opportunity for me to have peace in the matter and for others to have peace has been extinguished by time. The post came, and no one's going to resist it. And the post came. God help us to recognize that God wants us now. Now. The abundant life that God has for us now. Listen to this. If we're not careful, it can be marred by hurt, scarred, or neglected relationships. Abundant life takes in every bit of you and me. It is not just coming to church on Sunday and praising God for abundant life and going back to a relationship or having a relationship somewhere that is less than life. God wants us to choose life. God help us. We want abundant life. Then I say to us, we've got to learn spiritual human relationships. We've got to have the thoughts of God toward one another and toward our family, toward our companions and our children and children to the parents. We've got to have spiritual thoughts that we might have spiritual relationships, that we might have relationships that bring forth life, that have no death in them. God help us to realize that. He said in Psalms, the 90th chapter and the 12th verse, speaking about the speed of time and et cetera, the brevity of days, in the 12th verse of the 90th chapter of Psalms. So teach us, and that's my cry for me. Teach me, O God. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Too short. It's just not long enough for you. It's just not long enough. Excuse me, for you and me to let anything that's not spiritual stay around. In our relationships, the hurts, the words that we know we should say, we better start finding them. That we won't be left with regrets. That our life won't have, our abundant life won't have a cloud hanging over it. But that you and I will teach, God will teach us to number our days. That we will see what I'm going to do, I need to be doing. that if I want this abundant life, I've got so many years to get it in or it's going to be gone. And when I do receive all the abundance God has for me, I'm going to look back over there at those unabundant years and I'm going to say, oh, wasted years, oh, how foolish. Let's not waste our time with each other. Let's love one another. Let's care for one another. Let's support one another. Let's speak to one another in love. Let's forgive one another. I'm not speaking of us just here, but the community of man, our family, those we work with, those we associate with, those that maybe have transgressed us. Folks, if we stay in that transgression, we're not having an abundant life. If we stay in a hurt feeling, we're missing abundant life. If we stay over here with a little resentment, we're missing the abundant life God has for us. We're not incorporating the thoughts of peace, His thoughts that are higher than my thoughts and your thoughts. We're letting them stay out there and we're settling for our low human thinking. God has abundant life, but when you and I let those words that we need to be saying to each other, I love you, when we let those words go unspoken, oh, she understands. She knows I love her. She wants to hear you say it. I love you. He wants to hear it. Those children want to hear it. That mother and their father and that father and mother, they want to hear, Mama, Daddy, I love you. I care about you. You're important to me. We all want to hear the words, thank you and I appreciate you. Abundant life. But when we choose to live outside of that sphere of God's thoughts coming and penetrating every part of us, folks, we're missing the abundant life that He has for us. We're missing life, really. He said, teach us to apply ourselves to wisdom. Over in 2 Corinthians, oh God, help us to live. Just live. And the life I live, now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's what He wants us to do. To be hopelessly in love with Him. Told the young couple yesterday just to be unashamedly in love with each other. Let's just be so unashamedly in love with God that everything He has for us, we just want to reach out and embrace it. And when we see, Lord, I got to get rid of some stuff to get more room for you, just start digging and throwing. God help us. It'll work, folks. And we'll find some happiness and peace where we're kind of, I speak as a person, where we're kind of down in the mother grubs a little bit. He said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, and all things are of God, and who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Have you ever seen a patching up? Well, more than that. That's not a good word. Have you ever seen a healing of a relationship? Have you ever been there and felt the blessings of it? We may think this scripture here deals only and entirely with the message of be ye reconciled to God. Granted, that's what he's speaking of. Of being reconciled back to the Father and through the Son. Now, I know that's what he's primarily speaking of. But folks, Jesus said then, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Part of the reconciliation with God is peace with God. His peace living in us, reigning in us. His thoughts becoming our thoughts. Our ways becoming obsolete to us and His ways coming and taking their place. He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. You know what? We talked earlier about the mountains bursting forth. Think today about something inside of you that's just waiting to burst forth. And when it does, life will come with it. Peace will come with it. That restores life will come with it. The healing will come with it. God help us this night, today. Let's don't waste life, but let's live it to the fullest. Let's accept God's ways and God's thoughts. Let's accept the ministry of reconciliation. If there's broken relationships, let's not be satisfied till we've done our best. If there's dissension in the home, Let's not say this is my lot. Let's not be, that's not living. Not the life Christ came to give us. Not at all. If you're being in your relationships ruled by past hurts and indifferences or differences, abandon that, because you're not living. You don't have that real abundant life. If the past hurts and scars are marring you today, that's not living. That's not the life Christ has for us. He's got an abandonment of ourself and to fill us with himself. That's what we should choose. God help us. You know what I'm going to ask you to do today? I'm going to ask you, when you go home, don't think Brother Stanley's silly. He's as serious as he can be about it. I want you to go home and have a big group hug with your family. And I want you to tell each other, I love you. And then get on your knees and pray together. Start there. Maybe you haven't said I love you enough. Maybe you haven't said it in a long time. Maybe you haven't taken that grown son or that grown daughter and said, I love you. I appreciate you. Maybe you haven't gone to that gray-haired daddy or granddaddy and said, I sure do love you, and put your arms around him. Go home. Take hold of one another and hug each other. Say, I love you, and then pray together. Relationships. Folks, they're so vital. Don't let it stop there, but let it be a beginning place that we can live life abundant. I know this, you've heard it said, when we put somebody in a prison in our mind, somebody's got to stay there and guard them. And you put them there, you got to guard them. And you're going to cease to live too, because you're in that same prison there. You got some ill will and anger towards somebody, you got to keep them there. You're not going to live. You're going to have to watch their quote-unquote misery, but they may be forgot all about it and gone on. God help us in our human relationships. It's vital to our spiritual happiness and our spiritual joy. He said to us that today is the day of salvation. And some wouldn't enter into his rest because of unbelief. Let you and me believe God. Let you and me do whatever is necessary to heal the human relationships from the home right on down. Husbands and wives, children, mothers and fathers, in the congregation, in the church, on the job. I have found every time I have put forth that little effort within me, I've always come back feeling, I'm so glad I did that. Maybe a little embarrassing. Sometimes it's a little awkward. But it's always, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I did it. God help us this day. Lastly, I'd just like to ask us something. See, I can say some of these things because I've been there and done that. And I don't think I'm just too out of sync with society and humanity. I don't think God singled or fate singled me out to have to do all these things. I imagine most of us have been there. And some of you may be there today. I wonder if there's a letter you need to write so you can begin to live. I just wonder if there's a restitution you need to make so you can begin to live. I mean live, folks. Happy, happy. Full of peace and joy. And bursting forth as the mountains, he said in Isaiah. When the rain descended and that beautiful rain of God came into our hearts and praise God, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Well, folks, if we're free, we've got to be free in our relationships. I wonder this morning if there's a phone call you need to make. Think about it. I wonder, is there, I'm sorry, we need to say. Is there a please forgive me that's not been said yet? Is there a I forgive you that we haven't uttered yet? Is it there? Then I want to ask us, please, let's say it. Let's write it. Let's punch the numbers in the touchstone.
Let's take care of the restitution. Let's have good relationships. They have to be maintained. And sometimes they have to be healed. Let's allow God. Is there an I love you that needs to be said? Husbands, I won't go back to us. Don't take it for granted that little lady knows you love her. I love you. It's a healing balm when it's said from the heart. I wonder in our life this morning, is there a place that we recognize that I'm really not having an abundant life, and it has something to do with a human relationship on any level? You know what I want to ask us all to do this morning? To live. To choose life. To choose to live. To choose to live. In order to do that, maybe we need to lay down some of our thinking, some of our prejudice, some of our hurts, some of those things that others may not understand about us. Write that letter, make that phone call, say I love you, say I forgive you, say will you forgive me? I'm sorry. Be willing to forsake our way that the peace of God might rule in our hearts. You pray for me.